Okay, great stuff. I won't keep you too long, Nemini. Thank you for your time. Obviously, from your perspective, first of all, it was a major achievement for you to be called to the bar. Tell me how that happened.
Well, it was great, great women. When I called, the 12 of us in love. And it was great women. There was a lot of
Philip, the sound's cutting off. Could I start that again if that's okay?
Sorry, maybe I have my hand over the. Is that better, Steve?
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah. Could
Okay,
so
sorry, I have my hand over the
no
microphone.
worries. Nemini, I apologize. I will ask you the question again if that's okay. It was a big achievement for a lady such as yourself to be called to the bar. Tell me how that happened.
Well, it wasn't an achievement getting called. You could get called from 1921 onwards, which was the date of the Sex Discrimination Act. But what was difficult was to get working because there was a great deal of prejudice at the bar and in the temple. It wouldn't allow women into chambers. And that was purely a sort of personal thing. And it was based purely on misogyny, I think. And we did have a difficult time. The judges were very nasty to us on the whole. But we had to develop a thick skin.
How did you become counsel of choice for the Cray twins?
Well, it was a bit of luck, really. They, at that time, they retained a firm of Orthodox Jewish solicitors in the East End called Lincoln and Lincoln. And Mr. Lincoln, Ellis Lincoln, the senior partner, was the chap who would go to the magistrates' court for them. Because, as you know, solicitors have the right of audience in the magistrates' court, although they can't practice in the Crown Court. So Mr. Lincoln used to do all their magistrates' court stuff. But because of his religious faith, he couldn't go to court on Saturday. And the Crays got nicked one Friday night and were due in court for Saturday morning. And I was the only available Gentile counsel. And so I appeared for them on that occasion. We got on very well. And they kept on asking for me.
That's interesting that.
So I
I
was
mean,
their Saturday girl.
were you aware of who the were you aware of who the Crays were and their reputation?
No, I mean the legend is much larger than the reality. You know, at that time they were just two more minor gangsters from Bethnal Green.
What were
Just,
you?
there's something strange about identical twins, and I think the fact that they were identical twins made them very interesting. I mean, in the public, well, not many people, probably you do, but remember the Richardsons
Yes.
or the Adams,
Yeah, I remember that.
but they never had the same
No.
publicity because they were non-identical brothers. They weren't twins and they certainly weren't identical twins. But in their own way, they were just as important and just as dangerous. And
Fascinating. What were
a
your
lot
first in
nastier.
what were your first impressions of the Cray twins, Nemini?
Oh, they were very, very polite, very correct. I saw them first in the cells at Arbour Square Magistrates Court. And their mother had been down to court well before it sat and brought them clean shirts and shaving equipment and aftershave. And they were smartly dressed, nice clean shirts, Brill creamed hair, expensive aftershave. Very, very polite, very nice. I never had any problem with them. There was, as far as I was concerned, they were as good as gold.
Could you describe what the atmosphere was like in court? I know that it was the longest trial at the time in criminal history, But can you just give us a little bit of a sense of what the atmosphere was like? Because there are many stories and many books about the Krays being asked and the firm, as they were called, to wear numbers. Justice Melford Stevenson had asked them to wear numbers, and Ron had called him a fat slob and taken off the, refused to wear the numbers. Was it like that in court, or are these stories mythical?
You're talking about the trial where they were convicted?
Yes.
Well, I mean, this was many years after I first met them. Yes, the atmosphere at that trial was very strange. Mm-hmm. It was very hostile. I always feel that if the Krays had stayed in Bethnal Green, they wouldn't have attracted such notoriety. The fact they went up to the West End and the House of Lords and so on made the establishment very suspicious of them. They thought they were bounders. You know, who are these working class boys from the East End? How dare they come up to Knightsbridge? And how dare they go to the House of Lords? And the atmosphere at that trial was horrid. I remember Peter Crowder, who was one of the defence counsel. I was there, not as counsel, but I had a press ticket because it was at a time when I couldn't practice because of my marriage. Peter Crowder, one of the defence counsel, it was in the Jack the Hat case. Jack the Hat was murdered in a basement at Evering Road, Stoke Newington. It was alleged by Reggie. And he didn't die immediately. He was stabbed and he fell to the ground. And Peter Crowder asked the witness who saw this, he said, "Was he ambulant?" And I thought, what on earth does he say, speak to him like that? Why can't he say, "Could he walk?" But he did it to put him down, because he was an uneducated working class boy from Bethnal Green. And I found this very unpleasant. And it was said, I was told this by somebody who was present at lunch. It was a practice for counsel to have lunch with the judge during the course of a trial. And in the Old Bailey building, Robert Harmon, who was a chum of mine, who was in Silk, told me this story, so I know it was true. Melford Stevenson, the judge, said one lunchtime, "Mr. Ronald Kray, for the first time in his benighted life, spoke the truth today. He said that the prosecuting counsel was a fat slob and that the judge was prejudiced. Both are true."
Do you think the sentences that were handed down to the Krays and the firm were harsh or justified?
Well, murder attracts a life sentence. It's mandatory. What is wrong is when the tariff is interfered with later, as happened in Jeremy's case. And that is absolutely disgraceful. Jeremy was given, I think, a tariff of, was it 30 years?
No, 25.
25. And then Douglas Hurd, the Home Secretary.
It's been political maneuvering, it's dreadful.
Yes, the Home Secretary later increased it to a whole life tariff, which is purely political.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't there, he had nothing to do with the trial.
To keep the right wing happy. Wins votes, knock them up, shoot them, put them on trial afterwards if they like it.
Yeah, and that is so wrong. Sentencing should be nothing to do with politicians.
Exactly.
It should be, the sentencing is for the judge who has actually heard the case and seen the witnesses, formed his own opinion. Douglas Hurd, who was Home Secretary, had been nowhere near the trial.
Are you surprised that the Cray twins' name lives on? I mean, there's been many, many documentaries made, numerous films, a multitude of books. Are you surprised that the legend lives on?
No. No, it's what I was saying about identical twins. There's something so strange and interesting about them. And anyway, they were very, very good at working the media. They were very clever at publicity.
Yeah, the PR was...
got David Bailey to do Reggie's wedding photographs and that sort of thing. I mean, it's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any contact with the Crays after you finished representing them?
Oh, yes. I went to tea with Ronnie in Broadmoor.
And what was that like?
Oh, it was funny. Really, it was funny. I mean, by this time, he was on strong medication and antipsychotic medication, which made him very fat. And when I first knew them, they really were identical. But by the time of the trial, they were getting less identical. Reggie was very thin. And he was fully compos mentis. He knew exactly what was going on. And he was very frightened because he knew what was in store for him. Ronnie was all for the fairies. I mean, he thought he was at the Palladium. And in Broadmoor, I mean, he had a butler. And he had one, a chap in a white coat who came round. And when we arrived, I went with two chaps from Stoke Newington, one Puffing Billy Berman, who's a bookies runner, who's a great old chum of mine, and one of the Nash brothers. We went, and the butler came in and said, would you prefer a Sam, Earl Grey, or PG Tips? And so we made our choice of tea. Then in came Ronnie, and he said, shall I be mother? Our poor. And he looked like the Queen Mother by this time, because he was very stout. And then he said, would you like a meat pie? They warm them up lovely. And so we were offered meat pies.
That's fantastic. Namely, I would love to plug your book. Now, you've written a couple of books. This one is one which obviously concentrates primarily on your life and your legal profession. How did the book come about?
Well, I wanted to write my memoirs. I'm doing volume 2 at the moment because the one that's published only goes up to a certain stage in my life. But we had great difficulty getting it published because all publishers wanted to change it. I mean, one publisher said, I'm not really interested in your story or Jimmy's story. It's quite commonplace. But I'd love to know more about your American grandmother. And this wasn't my idea. My American grandmother was a lovely lady, but I wasn't writing a book about her. I wanted to write a book, really partly to try and clear Jimmy's name. Because Jimmy suffered a gross miscarriage of justice. And I hope we will, in the end, manage to do it. But in the end, we self-published. We took it to Amazon, because then you have complete control. And my son, Milo, acted as my publisher and agent, and he did it very well. Although he had no experience of that sort of thing.
Well, it's a fantastic story. It's a great book. And as Nemini has already mentioned, you can get that book on Amazon. Feel free to get yourself onto Amazon and buy a copy. Nemini, it's been an absolute pleasure for somebody who has studied the Crays twins for many years and done many documentaries and been involved in film and books as well. To finally meet you, even though it's virtually, has been an absolute pleasure. You're a lovely lady, and best of luck with your second book.
Thank you. Thank you.